اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. يا ممتحنة امتحنك الله الذي خلقك قبل أن يخلقك، فوجدك لما امتحنك صابرا. وزعمنا أنا لك أولياء ومصدقون وصابرون لكل ما أتى به أبوك صلى الله عليه وآله، وأتى به وصيه. فإنا نسألك أن إن كنا صدقناك إلا ألحقتنا بتصديقنا لهما، لنبشر أنفسنا بأننا قد طهرنا بولايتك. السلام عليك يا بنت رسول الله، السلام عليك يا بنت نبي الله، السلام عليك يا بنت حبيب الله، السلام عليك يا بنت خليل الله، السلام عليك يا بنت صفي الله، السلام عليك يا بنت أمين الله، السلام عليك يا بنت خير خلق الله، السلام عليك يا بنت أفضل أنبياء الله ورسله وملائكته، السلام عليك يا بنت خير البرية، السلام عليك يا سيدة نساء العالمين. من الأولين والآخرين. السلام عليك يا زوجة ولي الله وخير الخلق بعد رسول الله. السلام عليك يا أم الحسن والحسين. السلام سيدي شباب أهل الجنة. السلام عليك أيتها الصديقة الشهيدة. السلام عليك أيتها الرضية المرضية. السلام عليك أيتها الفاضلة الزكية. السلام عليك أيتها الحوراء الإنسية. السلام عليك أيتها التقية النقية. السلام عليك أيتها المحدثة العليمة. السلام عليك أيتها المظلومة المغصوبة. السلام عليك أيتها المضطهدة المقهورة. السلام عليك يا فاطمة بنت رسول الله ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلى الله عليك وعلى روحك وبدنك. أشهد أنك مضيت على بينة من ربك، وأن من سرك فقد سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن جفاك فقد جفا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله. من آذاك فقد آذى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن وصلك فقد وصل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن قطعك فقد قطع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، لأنك بضعة منه، وروحه الذي بين جنبيه. أشهد الله ورسله وملائكته أني راض عمن رضيت عنه، ساخط على من سخطت عليه، متبرئ ممن تبرأت منه، موال لمن واليت، معاد لمن عاديت، مبغض لمن أبغضت، محب لمن أحببت، وكفى بالله شهيدا وحسيبا وجازيا ومثيبا. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We have one of the families in our community that has been suffering from the COVID-19 illness, and alhamdulillah, most of the family members have been able to recover. But our dear sister Anna, we heard today, has been hospitalized. And we know that it's difficult for the family, and it's difficult for her going through the conditions. These are the nights of Fatimiyya. We ask Fatimatu Zahra, salamullahi alayha, and we ask Allah by her right to grant her full recovery and return her to her family first and to all of us as our great community member. And let's recite the Ayah Sharifa, or the Ayah al-Shifa, that is recited for the Shifa of, and for whenever there's difficult conditions, together inshallah 5 times. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ 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 أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Let's recite another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajah. The topic, this Fatimiyya, has been having a connection, an emotional connection with Fatimatu Zahra, salamullahi alayha. As last night's talk, there were technical difficulties that I still have not figured out. Hopefully they won't happen. We've been doing this for the past few weeks, and we didn't have issues until last night, as far as I know. Anyhow, due to whatever has caused, I will have to recap some of the points that were mentioned briefly in order to move on, inshallah. We said that we want to talk about the emotional connection and relationship with Fatimatu Zahra, salamullahi alayha. This is important for us. One of the points that was mentioned, and I think I'll highlight this one, this was, I think I can say, most important. Besides the points related to the greatness of Fatimatu Zahra and how anyone that looks at those who've been able to accomplish a bit more in terms of their relationship with Allah and reach greater proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from those who are known for their practical irfan and those who are known for their theoretical irfan, you see across the board a special relationship, a special connection, a special type of language related to Fatimatu Zahra. Things that they say are not processed, cannot be fully understood by those who have not reached those levels. And because of that, they are many times misunderstood and have been considered instances of ghulub or exaggeration in regards to the ma'sumin, in this case, in regards to Fatimatu Zahra. The problem, however, is that we know these people, and we know they're great people, and we know they don't exaggerate, and we should realize that we do have deficiencies. And we should realize that what they have suggested, what they have said, what they have mentioned in books of hadith, like the riwayat related to Fatimatu Zahra being the sirr of Laylatul Qadr in the great book Al-Kafi, compiled by Shaykh Al-Kulayni, those who've considered these scholars, these companions of the Ahlul Bayt, who've compiled these works, who've compiled these ahadith, who've compiled a hadith specifically related to Fatimatu Zahra salamullahi alayha, that what they have mentioned, there is no evidence or proof or arguments against to prove them wrong. They are simply matters that we have not heard in those words before. We don't have reasons to put up against them just because they are unusual, just because we have not heard of them before, just because we have not seen them being explained through verses and ahadith. Other than these ones which we have difficulty processing, doesn't mean that they are wrong. So we need to realize that we don't have arguments to put forth against the words that have been said in regards to Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha by these great ulama, urafa of the contemporary times, the urafa of the companions of the Ahlul Bayt who've compiled those works. The result that can come from the emotional connection with Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, which is something that we are all in need of, is to become unstoppable, is to become someone that will never give up, is to become someone that no matter how the difficulties are, how tough they are, and how long they last, and how much we're going to be put in these various difficulties and hardships, and how many roadblocks will be in our way, we will simply not give up. Whether it's in the context of the external battle that we are dealing with the enemies of Islam, the enemies of Tashayyu, the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, the enemies of Allah, the enemies of humanity, whether it's those types of battles, or it's the battle within, the battle of the nafs, that we need to consider and take more seriously, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi has said, that the battle of the self, the battle of the nafs, is the greater battle compared to even the most severe version of the external battle, which is a battle in a battlefield with military warfare, with swords, spears, guns, bombs, explosions. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi has said that battle of the self is more difficult. It's greater. It's a greater thing as jihad. Of course, it's greater in its results as well, but what he means, he says, al-jihad al-akbar. Jihad al-akbar means that the jihad is greater, the suffering is greater, the difficulty is greater, the struggle part is greater. So as much as we think that these external battles that we deal with, the most evident or the most clearly difficult, one being the one that involves military warfare, as opposed to other forms of warfare, economic, cultural, ideological, and what have you, the battle of the self is more difficult. The battle of the self is more serious. It's more of a struggle, according to what the Holy Prophet has said. In both of these forms of battle, the external and the internal, they are battles. Battles have difficulties. Battles will have injuries. Battles will be where we will have losses. We'll lose things. These are difficult. That's why being in a battle is called jihad. Otherwise, the word jihad means struggle. It doesn't mean battle. The word for battle in Arabic is qital, not jihad. Jihad means to struggle. But qital involves a struggle. It's difficult. We have these battles. We have these battlefields, the battlefield of the nafs, and the battlefield outside, the battlefield with the enemies of Islam, the battle of preserving Islam and the Islamic identity within the Muslim community on a global scale, the battle of winning the minds and hearts of people for them to see the truth of Islam. This is a very serious battle. The battle of defending Islam from the various forms of deception and deviation. These are all battles that we're involved with. There are some military conflicts that mu'mineen are dealing with, kuffar and enemies of Islam, but those are few comparatively. The numbers of people who are involved in those types of battles are very few compared to the rest of the Muslimin. The rest of the Muslimin are involved with other forms of battles. We have these different conditions. We are in need of a tool, an instrument, a means, something that can help us. No matter how many times we are injured, how many times we fall, how many times we fail, how many times we're unable to make progress, how many times we've got to struggle for long durations and see no results, no matter how many times and for how long these difficulties last, that we're going to be continuing. We need that because this is the nature of the situation. On the battle of the nafs, ulama, sulaha, muttaqin, pious people struggled for years, decades, without seeing any results. Without seeing any results on the level they're looking for. They struggle. The battle of the self, jihadun nafs, one of the difficult things that we need to have is to keep our focus. Make sure that our dreams are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not distracted with all these various distractions of the dunya, zinatul hayat al-dunya, the various glamours and the glamorization of the dunya in the various forms. We got to make sure this doesn't distract us, for us to lose our goal and objective. If we keep our goal in mind, if we keep on remembering what we're trying to accomplish and we keep going at it, we're making progress. These distractions come and we are unable to continue because we lose sight of that objective. We need something that is going to keep us in track. We're going to need something that's going to keep us on track. We need something that will help us not lose our focus. What is that? The emotional connection with Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. If someone has the emotional connection with Fatima al-Zahra, asking her for help, making an emotional connection in the form of remembering what happened to her, crying for that, crying for her loneliness, crying for her wounds, crying for her children, crying for the moment of burial, the moments of ghusl, the moments of shrouding, and what happened there, the moments, the lonely moments of Amirul Mu'mineen with Fatima al-Zahra in the house. When they came to the door, when they burned the door down, when Amirul Mu'mineen was washing that body, when Amirul Mu'mineen was burying that body, when Amirul Mu'mineen sat by her grave, crying for that, remembering and crying and remembering and crying on her own, programs and centers, programs online. These are things that, whoever the organizers, there's certain times of the year that things are set up and so on. Each of us individually doesn't have to be 24/7 and then dressed in black. And, it's not about the sadness, the grief. Some people make the memory of the Ahlul Bayt and crying for them this mood that you have to be entirely in grief and just, no, those few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, in the midst of everything that you're doing, while you're involved with something else, a couple of minutes, remember that, let your heart make that connection and cry for her. And continue, make your cake, bake your cookies, have your sweets, have all of that. She doesn't want you not to. This is not about that. It's not about being dressed in black and constantly reciting, nohas and poetry and just walking around, the only thing I'm mentioning. No, she never did that herself. for her father. She didn't ask anyone to do that. Amir al-Mu'mineen never did that. Just walk around with black all the time and just remember and just cry and beat your chest 24/7. That's not the idea. That's not what's supposed to be happening. Recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa ahlik a'da'ahum. So the point isn't that. The point is that we need to regularly remember and cry for what she went through, what happened to her, and so on and so forth. This is the connection. What it does is, as we said, it causes a person that when those difficult times come, that one wants to give up, in the context of the battle of the self, where we're being distracted, when we go off course, when we lose our focus, when we get involved with the material benefits, the material gains, the material glamour, we get involved with life, the bills, the cars, the homes, the luxury, the fun, all of that, which are all halal, the halal ones. Obviously, we're talking to mu'mineen, we're talking about halal versions. They're all halal. The problem is, they become our focus. When they have become our focus, and then gradually we start drifting away, we're not involved with only halal anymore. And because it becomes the focus, we start getting involved with other various forms. When those things happen, if we have that connection, if for a period of time that starts happening, one little reminder of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, her reminding us, in the context of the battle with the kuffar, with the enemies of Islam, with the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, we have seen warriors like Hajj Qasim, may Allah bless his soul, this great shaheed. We are reaching the anniversary of this shahada of Hajj Abu Mahdi and Hajj Qasim, rahmatullah alayhima wa ridwanullah ta'ala alayhima. When we read, when we see, when we watch their connection to Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, in the most difficult of times, dire needs, times where it seemed like everything is over, tawassul to Fatima al-Zahra. And those who have been through this, those who've been part of this struggle against the enemies of Islam, and they've continued it, and they've faced situations where they know what dire situations means, and they have experienced tawassul to Fatima al-Zahra, they understand why it is said that the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, according to their own words, when they were in difficult times in the struggle, they went to Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, and asked her for help. They sought intercession through her. In those times, one begins to understand why at those times, those most difficult of times, the heart of a believer who is in touch with Fatima al-Zahra, who has that emotional connection with her, is able to remember her, ask for help, and keep going, keep going, and keep going. And after that tawassul, one realizes that they're still going. This was what we discussed last night regarding the emotional connection to Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. What I want to discuss tonight is that, okay, how do we build that emotional connection with her? What should we do that will increase that? Now, some of it is known and obvious. We have these commemorations, we hear poetry, we hear recitations about Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, we remember the stories of what happened to her, and we shed tears. These are all ways of making that connection with Fatima al-Zahra. I want to talk about another form of connection that builds our emotional attachment and connection to Fatima al-Zahra. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us be able to explain this in ways that are most pleasing to Him. And that is to see Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha present, to see her involved in whatever it is that I'm dealing with, and to see her capable of dealing with it, with all of that understood, speaking to her, talking to her about the conditions that I'm dealing with, whatever it is. This builds that relationship. If it's done regularly, if this is done regularly, the emotional connection with Fatima al-Zahra, the heartfelt connection with Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, is going to increase more and more daily. So we have to explain these few points. We said we need to speak to her, considering her present, involved, and capable of helping and assisting. With that mindset, speaking to her. Why do we say that? There are times that we need to speak to someone. We need to speak to people to try to get help from them. Then there are times where we don't have people to speak to, but we do need to speak. There's something on our chest we need to get off of our chest. What do? We go somewhere and we speak to just ourselves. We speak out. Or for those who believe, they speak to God. They speak to, if they speak to Jesus for Christians, they speak to Jesus. I'm talking about those who don't consider him God, which is the correct understanding. Shafa'a is a form of shafa'a. May speak to Jesus. Ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. For the Shia, for the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, for Muslimin that have not been poisoned with the thoughts that say you can't address the Ahlul Bayt, you can't address the Prophet, they address the Prophet. Muslimin generally, whether Shia, Sunni, they address the Prophet. They address Amir al-Mu'mineen at least as a companion of the Prophet, who's spoken of by the Prophet in the ways that he has been spoken of. Mu'mineen, Muslimin, they speak to the Prophet, they speak to. This is something that is commonly done. We say, speak to the Ahlul Bayt, ask for help. We say, we put our heads down or up, whichever, depending on who it is and how they feel more comfortable. They think of, for instance, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, or Imam al-Husayn, or Amir al-Mu'mineen, or any of the Imams, whichever of the Ma'sumeen. They think of them, and they speak to them about their problem. So this is being done. This isn't something that's not happening. But this is not what we're talking about. This conversation at that moment of need with, in our case, what we're discussing with Fatima al-Zahra, can happen in two different ways. One is the way we mention, three factors are involved. And the other is without the three factors. There's a time you speak to Fatima al-Zahra. You consider her what? You consider Fatima al-Zahra someone who was alive, who was passed on. Okay. She's passed away. She's deceased. She's no longer alive. And somehow I'm speaking to her, and because I've been told that she has this connection or she can intercede. This is one way of speaking to Fatima al-Zahra. There's another way of speaking to Fatima al-Zahra where I see her present. She is alive and she is present. In other words, I'm not speaking to my imagination. It's not a psychological technique to make myself feel good. There is a reality of Fatima al-Zahra. It's not an imaginary figure. It's not a psychological thing in my head. It's a person, a being, a real person. A real person that is absent? No, a real person that is present. More present than I am. If a person speaks to Fatima al-Zahra as some thought in their mind, some theory, thought, concept, something in the mind that may have some level of effect, but speaking to her, understanding that she is alive and present. I'm not calling on someone who is not present there, someone who doesn't see me. Where do we get this concept from? We said it already. This is one idea we need to have when we speak to her in order to build a more real relationship with Fatima al-Zahra, an emotional relationship that will have the effects that we mentioned earlier. One of the important elements that we need to have is to correct our understanding of what we mean when we're saying talk to her about your issues, about your problems, about whatever it is you want to speak to her, whatever it is you're dealing with. If you're speaking with someone who is not present, who is not alive, a concept in the head, even on a personal level, internally yourself, that the way you're going to approach that, the way you're going to see that, the way you're going to have that conversation is one way. If you think of that person, that although I can't see, these eyes cannot see, but she is present. I'm talking to someone right now. It's a whole different thing. Now, should we have that? Or is that a wrong understanding? It's not real. And if we do that, we're just making ourselves think that way. No, it's real. It's true. Two reasons from the Quran. She is a shahida. She is a shahida. A shahida, according to the Quran, number one, ahya'un 'inda rabbihim yurzaqun. They're alive, and they're receiving sustenance with their Lord. So does this mean, okay, so she is alive, but she's not present. She's inda rabbihim. No, this is our material understanding of if she's inda rabbihim, then she's not with us. These are our material barriers that we think that if she's with someone who is not in the material realm, in this case, the Lord, then that means she's not present. These are all a lot of misunderstanding. The Quran says, regarding Shuhada, and we discussed this in Muharram, that they call on the Shuhada, and that's not even referring to the likes of Fatima al-Zahra in a particular way. It's general, so it applies to any Shaheed, even one who is much lower. And that is that they call on and they give good tidings. So الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. Search that word. Go look at those verses. So that means those shuhada are present with the believers who are struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They see their situation and they tell them, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There's no fear, there's no worry, there's no grief, there's no sadness. عند ربهم يرزقون does not conflict with the presence and the concept said in the Quran. And this is again very basic, that involves any shaheed, even if it's not Sayyidatu Nisa' al-Alameen. So that means this is bare minimum. But yeah, they give good tidings to those who have not been involved. So that's one argument that is presented from the Quran. Since she is a Siddiqatu Shahida, she is a Shahida, then the Quran tells us this is her condition. Then the sir of Laylatul Qadr in Surah Al-Qadr, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَادْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَادْرِ. لَيْلَةُ الْقَادْرِ, according to the hadith, which is the platform, for want of a better word, it's where and when and the context of which تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحِ, the malaika and the ruh descend to the earth, to Khalifatullah. That all happens in the context of Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, which allows for all of this to happen, according to hadith, is Fatimatul Zahra, salamullahi alayha. This shouldn't be seen as something, oh, I feel good. Please, let's get past emotional conversations. This is very real. This is very real. This means that she is, if Laylatul Qadr involves our destiny, Laylatul Qadr involves what will happen, then Fatimatul Zahra is involved with everything that happens to us. She's present and she's involved. She's involved according to that. That leads us to the second one. We said there's three elements of the way we need to look at our conversations with Fatima al-Zahra. One is that she's present. That's proven. And also, moving on, she's involved. She's involved and she has the ability, she has the power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her the power. The fate of every single person on earth, according to those ahadith, this is a small glimpse of her ability. All of that being brought down to the earth and being, in a sense, signed by the Waliullah based on what God wants. All of this happens in the context of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. So the fate of everyone, she is involved with, and she is the one that makes that fate be able to be brought down and be able to be signed and be able to be sent back and to be able for it to be implemented. This is ability. She is capable. If we combine all of these points, this understanding, and then compare to a conversation with Fatima al-Zahra that doesn't have these elements, one is not convinced of them, and where one is convinced of them from our perspective, because the reality is, the evidence that I briefly presented, there's overwhelming evidence of this. Overwhelming evidence of this. It's basic, very brief explanations of it. That's the reality. That's the truth of the matter. This is who she is. For us, if I have that understanding, if I have that belief, or if I don't have that belief, If I speak to Fatima Zahra as a thought, concept, just imaginary thing, the way non-Muslims, non-theists speak to, I don't know, something of power in their minds, whatever it is, which is even not real, it's not even real. Some superstitious thing. That's one way of having that conversation. Another way of having that conversation is to see her present. So now that you see her present, if you're speaking to a person that's actually there, what will you mention to a person that's there that's not involved in your life? They're not. There's some friend of yours, some acquaintance of yours, some random person on the street that you decide to have a conversation with and you have your chest full. What you will say to them when you don't think they're involved in your life, you're just getting something off your chest. You're not really saying anything for any benefit of yours. You just want to say it, and now there's an opportunity, you said it. What are you going to say? How are you going to say it? How will you have that conversation? That's one way. It is speaking. It is getting something off the chest. But when you speak to someone that is involved with your situation, a conversation is not going to last 2 minutes. A conversation isn't going to just be getting something off the chest. It's a real conversation. It's real talk. I'm trying to get my thoughts straight to speak and say the right things and expect a response. And then when I have this conversation with someone who is involved, they're involved, they know what's going on, they're involved in what we're doing, maybe we're doing it together, they need to do part of it. But if you don't see them as capable in helping your situation, although they're involved, you won't be too inclined to talk to them about your conditions and to try to ask help from them. You just naturally won't, because you don't have the thought process that they can do anything. If you talk to them, maybe a little more than someone that is not involved. They are involved, they're present, you're talking to them, but they're not really capable of doing anything. Or if you're not sure if they're capable, you think maybe they're capable. That's one type of conversation. You speak to that person one way. And when you're sure that they are fully capable of helping you in that situation, they are present. You're not trying to call on them, not knowing, are they hearing, are they not hearing? Are they listening, are they not? Is this message going to get across or not? No, she's present. She hears. She's involved in my life. And she can help me in the conditions. Then the conversation is going to be very different. I think I've mentioned this before. One of the shuhada, great shuhada of the war that the international community had against the Islamic Republic. In that war, there were many shuhada, many great shuhada. Many of them had very special connections with Fatima Zahra, salamullahi alayha. One of them is Shahid Burunsi. Shahid Burunsi was a construction worker, maybe to a certain degree, we could call him a contractor, but not the way we think, you know, big con. No, someone had maybe has a couple workers working with him, and he's got his expertise in a certain arena or area of construction. I don't know exactly what that was, but he was a professional construction or someone with expertise in construction in a certain area of it. Not that he had been educated in that, just through experience, the old time type of, you know, construction work. And he was part of the revolution, very, very religious, very spiritual. And when the war started, he went to the war fronts and was involved. In one of the operations they had when they were going towards the Ba'athists, they got caught in a minefield. These minefields are deadly. They were supposed to be cleared out by others, but something had happened and that had not happened. And so they had to get through this for Islam. And here they are. They don't have a way. And it's pitch black, complete darkness. He pleads to Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, asks her for help with this understanding. And he gets a response in a way that he can hear. This is mentioned, there's witnesses to this. No one else could hear her. But Fatima al-Zahra spoke to him. And she said, "You get your soldiers, I will guide you, listen to me." He didn't see, he heard her. And he told his soldiers to follow every step very carefully. And they got through that minefield with the guidance of Fatima al-Zahra. These are examples, of course. Fatima al-Zahra, who can guide these soldiers of Islam fighting the Ba'athist Saddam and all those who backed him in those difficult times, she can guide them through a minefield. They cannot see where mines are. Any step in the wrong direction would completely jeopardize a mission and they would be dying. Fatima al-Zahra, who can do this, can guide people in the minefield of Jihadun Nafs. We have plenty of minefields. Plenty of them. We hit these things. We have no idea. If I go this way, it may be an explosion. I go that way, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the direction is. Ask Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. With that understanding, she can help. The minefield of ideological warfare, cultural warfare, all the various forms of warfare for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this jihad fi sabilillah that we're all part of one way or another, some more than others. Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, can guide us through this. She can. If we have that understanding, she will speak and we can hear. If we don't have that understanding, we cannot tap into that. We will never tap into it. We will never look into it. We will never speak to her in that way. We will never ask her in that way. And if she speaks to us with our deficiency, with that thought process of ours, which does not see her present, does not see her involved, does not see her capable, then I'm not going to hear. Not because she didn't speak. It's because I didn't hear. My ears were deaf. She did speak. Inshallah, we go through that and we're able to, inshallah, hear her and hear her guidance, inshallah. Sallallahu alayki ya bint Rasulillah. صلى الله عليك يا ممتحنة امتحنك الله الذي خلقك قبل أن يخلقك فوجدك لما امتحنك صابرا صلى الله عليك أيتها السيدة الشهيدة الصديقة المظلومة المغصوبة حقها المكسورة ضلعها فاطمة روحي فداك يا فاطمة We need your help يا فاطمة We've heard that you stood behind the door when you knew they have set it on fire to break in. You stood there even though the Mal'un said, if you stand there, I will still break the door. روحي فداك. We have heard nothing moved you until that door fell on you, until the flames fell on you, until the nails fell on you. Upon that point we have heard you called, not Ali, as you knew he's busy with his taklif. You called, Ya Fiddatu Khudhini Fidda, come help me. روحي فداك. That's how you were towards your Imam, towards Allah's cause. Ya Fatima, we need your help. We want to be such for our Imam. We want to be such that when we hear the enemies bringing fire to the door of our Imam, to the door of Islam, to the doors of the Harams, to the door of the unity of Islam, to the door of the Quran, to the door of the teachings of the Prophet, when they bring that fire and we're behind the door, we end up guarding the door and we won't give up. The only thing that will remove us is the enemies knocking us down with that door. Ya Fatima, روحي فداك. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بعدد ما حاط به علمك. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك. يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب. ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. Oh Allah, hasten the return of our Imam. Oh Allah, help us be his true and close companions. Ya Allah, help all those who are helping your cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. Ya Allah, we all have hajat, we have needs, we have requests. We ask you by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt that you grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, Ya Allah, by the rights of the Imam of our time, relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.